time for the second funniest podcast with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and Justin Wersch. Have fun, guys.
Well, thank you, Sam. Hello and welcome to the second funniest podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. This is episode 466, I believe. I could be wrong, probably not. With me, as always, is the one, the only, the man who has been known to have trick-or-treaters give candy to him. TheKevinMiller.com. Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
Roll over and play dead.
I will.
Do it.
I will submit.
And then the other dogs come to you and try to mount you.
But I'm just doing a trick, guys. It's just a trick.
Never forget, Rocky.
Looking for a biscuit.
They know. They know if it was a trick. They know when true dominance, when submissiveness and tricks happen, right, dogs?
What do you mean?
I don't know.
Do we
to be
slip
honest,
into a canine podcast?
I thought you would know.
What you were doing?
Yeah. What am I talking about? No.
Well, at first I thought you were talking about just my dog, a situation that happened.
So,
that always confuses me because you have a journal in your brain of things that have happened in my life that I don't know.
Yeah, so you were disciplining your dog in a dog park, rolled him over, pinned him down, and he finally submitted. And the moment he submitted to you, you said other dogs in the dog park ran over to him like magnets and tried to mount him and to dominate over him because he had jumped down to submiss it. So you said that you in the character role of your dog, you said, I'm just doing it for a trick, just getting a biscuit. And I was saying, I think another dog would know the difference between a learned behavior and actual like heartfelt submissiveness.
Yeah, like I had forced him and I monkeyed him. That's not true.
You broke him. Now you don't know what you're talking about.
See, it's fun. It's fun for both of us.
This show has glitched.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
Let's not talk about it. We talked about it four episodes ago where I had a glitch where it just froze, but the game was still... Like, it's a great glitch when a game freezes.
Yeah.
That's the lesser of the two evils.
Really? I hate when a game freezes.
I don't mind it now that I've experienced the glitch where the game will progress and you're just running around thinking there's a puzzle you don't know the answer to.
Yeah, that's pretty brutal.
'Cause,
but I feel like if I'm... It's happened to me where I've actually been on the last cinematic of the game and it's locked up. Like playing the like you beat the game and the cinematic's playing and then the you know what game this happened to me on?
No.
Sly Cooper.
Oh, bum, bum,
very
bum.
First Sly Cooper. Froze on me, locked up, and then...
you had to go back and fight that owl?
The whole... exactly. The owl is impossible in that in that first game. Stupid clockwork. And then... And I was just doing it to unlock the cinematics, and because it didn't register that I had beaten it, I had to do it all again just to be able to see the cinematic again. So that was pretty brutal. So Frozen's, but you were saying?
Just I'm curious, and I'm sorry that I'm going to be kind of a super fan here, but do you record things that get cut?
Oh,
or by the like. Or do they, so that it is like a film where they edit things down?
Not so much. I guess more common, and it's only because I'm the lead character in the game, so I'll see several revisions of a game. There's things that in the upcoming Sly game, we recorded day one that we then went back a year and a half later and changed. And I was like, this is better. This is a stronger change.
Did you do a whole session of jump and press the triangle button?
That actually happened in the very first game. So in Ms. Ruby, when you fight Ms. Ruby, the like kind of Dance Dance Revolution style game, the Simon Says, the very first game was up, down, left, right, which would make sense. Whatever, or triangle, square, I think, whatever. I can't remember what she says. And so we recorded a whole session. The lady who played Miss Ruby said the same thing. I repeated it back. And then they, I guess they got feedback from Sony and said it was too similar to Dance Dance Revolution. We had to change it to Zigzag Voodoo. And so I jumped in the booth because I worked at the studio and just sent them the four words. I was like, I'm not going to. You don't need to be charged for me to say four words, goodness sakes. But they didn't have, they weren't going to get the actress that played Ms. Ruby to do that same thing. So that's why in that scene, it's her going, vroom, zang, vroom, and that's her saying zigzag voodoo. They like took somebody else saying it and then tweaked with it enough until it sounded like Zigzag Voodoo. I sure hope I haven't really given too many secrets, but that's some behind-the-scenes stuff right there. But more common,
I feel like you've said that before.
I think I have. Yeah. I think I've shared that story before.
So you would have been fired by now.
No one cares.
Clearly.
Is the truth. No one gives
people
a care.
People care, but nobody cares.
It's like a behind-the-scenes thing that you're like, oh, interesting.
Yeah. Talk about glitching, jerks.
Yeah. So that happened. What was your other question? Oh, would they bring people in? So I think that happens a lot. That actually happened in the new Sly game as well, where they made some revisions. And because I'm in the studio all the time, they'll have to change my lines, but they can't change the other actor's lines because they're not going to bring him back in to read.
It's expensive.
For one line.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I wanted to know how much of it is like a film.
Yeah.
In that they'll shoot a 2.5 hour long movie.
Yeah.
And then they'll edit it down to 1 hour 45.
I think it's not so much that as then they have to do rewrites within it. Now, there have been things where I think they, in development, like, will go through and be like, oh, we don't have time for this level or something, or we're not going to be able to do this thing. So we'll take that whole section out. But I have yet to experience anything where, like in a film, where they write more than they actually need, and then they sit down with an editor. And it makes sense because a game or a movie, right, is forward motion, right? It's just beginning, middle, end, and that's it. You have to fill 2 hours or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So as you interact with it as an editor, you're going to be removing scenes, possibly adding things if you're George Lucas. But in a game, right, it's more about the play testing and how an audience reacts to it. So as you do it, you're like, oh, that's not getting what we want. So it's not so much filling the 2 hours as it is changing things that are there. So the editing that happens isn't removing, it's changing.
Yeah.
So when we get into those moments where they have to figure out, okay, what are we going to do? It puts a lot of the weight on my lines, not on me as the actor, but on what they have to make. Because now I have to say something that makes sense in what the character's next line is, but changes the whole tone of the thing. And they probably don't have a lot more time to do it in because the animatic is already done. The cartoon is already done. So it's like, what could Sly now say
in 8 seconds?
Yeah. Or 2 seconds that changes the entire context of this conversation.
Zip, zap, zorp.
Exactly. Voodoo. Sometimes you get lucky and it's just that. Other times you're like, well, I don't know. And then we'll spend 30 minutes in the booth writing lines. And then it's always...
I'll just figure it out, Bentley.
I don't know. That's happened. It's always great when
I'm going to wing it.
They need to write in the session. So they're like, hang on for a second. We're going to figure this out. And so I'll just go off mic. And then you're just sitting there with your headphones in this silent room. And you see them all talking and thinking. You're like, how long am I? You have to sit down and eat an apple because they take a half hour. And then
smash cut to them going, okay, I think I'm going to get the cranberry salad.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I think I want
to
do.
That has happened to me before where they come up. They're like, oh, sorry, we're having a breakfast order. I'm like, what's going on? You know how much you're paying me to sit in here while you order breakfast? That's cool.
You want something? You good?
No, because you're leaving before breakfast. So then they'll come back and be like, okay, write this down. Now, I have terrible penmanship to begin with. You have a pencil on a piece of paper with a piece of cardboard. Cardboard? What's the word I'm trying to... What's this stuff called?
Carpet?
Carpet underneath it. So not cardboard or carpet. But
carpet. Carpet. Carpet is actually what they call it when you use carpet in the similar fashion to cardboard.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
So you're trying to write...
In reference to sound deafening or dampening.
And they'll say it real fast. Okay, the new line is, get out of here before it's too late. And then cut
and
down
get
here
a transverter and, from exactly. Escalon.
A transverter. And I'm trying to, like, do code and stuff. And
okay, give us 3 takes. Have fun with it.
That's exactly it. But those aren't glitches. The second time I ever heard a glitch was in Sly Cooper 2.
Oh, boy. Wow,
in the Paris
those checks
game,
are cashed, evidently.
I'm good. In the Paris level, in the very first thing, this disco ball is supposed to drop. And I knew the game well enough to where in the disco ball dropped, there was no explosion. It just, like, fell. And I was like, something's wrong with this. And I went back and replayed the scene again, and it wasn't so much, like, the game broke or anything. It just, like, there wasn't the effect or the sound effect didn't load in it or something.
If I could stick up to my plan of getting a developer on here every month, this would be a great subject to talk
about.
Because it seems hard to wrap my mind around the idea of something not all of a sudden just not working.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like in a computer situation.
Well, and I think it has to do with if you think of it in terms of a bridge, right? If a game is a bridge, you can drive across it most of the time, but if it's not built strong, like there's going to be a time where you drop and you fall through, right? And I feel like that's what's happening is that the code isn't clean enough to where that just every now and then you're going to hit this pothole and fall through.
But that's what I mean. I get it, but I just feel like how does it make sense that the bridge is there and then you could fall through it, but then when you come back to the bridge, it's fine.
Because it's not strong. That's why I use the...
In the reset, let's do this. Yeah. So when you turn off your PlayStation and you turn it back on, that's the equivalent of Carmageddon. Where they have 48 hours to rebuild the bridge in game world.
Right, game time.
You know, it's like, what was that Saturday morning cartoon that was based in the world of video games where literally like a second of game time was a lifetime
for
them or whatever.
It's a brilliant concept. Yeah, it was a cool show. Never played out.
But anyway.
Reboot.
Reboot. Thank you. So that kind of vibe, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Is that the idea of it?
Or maybe more think of it as like instead of a physical bridge, but integrity numbers. So if the bridge is at 90% or if the code is 90% good, then 1 out of 10 times something's just not gonna line up right.
But that's what I'm saying. I it's hard for me to see an analog process in a digital world. You see what I mean?
It
should be either on or off.
No. But see, that's the thing. Like if you've written any code, have you done anything? You ever written HTML for your website or anything, so you know that like if you begin to edit your HTML, you build your website, then you go in and change, you build it, you're gonna have all this ancillary code. You're like, oh, I don't really need this, but it's not in the way necessarily. There's all these paragraph shifts or this anchor that isn't being linked, or maybe you forget that it's there, so it's sitting there and it's not hurting anything. It's clearly living there. The page loads fine, but every now and then the computer will go through and read that and be like, oh. And it'll get hung up on that. And like I've done that on my own website. I've been like, oh, that stupid paragraph.
But that's what I'm saying. The every now and then is the part I don't understand.
Because it's a mistake. So
that gives a computer a human level of error in that. Like the idea of, to me, that a computer should go through or a game console should read the code and that's how it exists. The fact that something is missed, to me, seems like these machines are going to take over the world.
Because they're flawed.
Right. They're flawed just like we are. And they're imperfect. And they're.
But see, there's all sorts, like electronically, the amount of juice going to the processor is not constant. If there's a fluctuation in that, it can make it skip. If the process behind the process, like to use the HTML thing, if the program that is trying to read the HTML code also has a similar error somewhere within its code, now you have a chain event, right? So there's like it somewhere in its code, there's something in it that makes it every now and then do something wrong. And if the page it's reading has a similar issue with the software has, then the problems are going to link up and that's going to show up. Boom. It's like the red circle of death. Like it's
the red ring of death is
an analog problem.
It's a hardwire. It's a hardware issue.
But
I'm kind of sounding like a jerk.
No. No.
You're right. You come up these great like analogies for it. Although your chain event made me think of, I'm trying to think of what would be an equivalent of an event horizon situation.
The terrible movie?
Yeah.
That's a horror movie I have seen.
Oh.
It was terrible.
Fancy. Which, by the way, Prometheus is pretty good, but kind of a horror movie, but it's really good.
That just looks like Aliens.
But
again.
No, it's not. It's really good.
All right.
It's really good.
But
you have to have kind of seen, I think there's aspects of where you have to see Aliens to kind of understand why you should be freaked out at things, but I don't know because I've seen
But
aliens,
I love the Aliens movies.
But those didn't freak you out?
No.
Wow.
Because they're more about aliens than they are. They're a thriller. They're not torturing somebody. Like, there's something to be said. Like, Jurassic Park is the same emotion.
Oh, I see.
Of, like, being chased by a killer or something. It's like, oh, that's crazy. But then for the killer to be a human, why would a human do that? Why would a human be like that? I get an alien's motivation or a dinosaur's motivation. This is just how they're built. A robot cyborg from the future.
I understand motivation behind things. I have no idea what they are or I've never seen one. Nothing. Yeah. Like,
I've seen plenty of dinosaur aliens. Thank you very much.
That's funny.
So the thing about glitches, though, is now, thanks to the consoles being connected to the World Wide Web,
they go away.
And I actually expect them to go away. Yeah. So, like, Skyrim had a ton of glitches, right? There were just mistakes.
I
have to
tell you about what happened. This friend of mine, Charles, who...
And there's a difference. Is that a glitch? Sorry, tell the story, and then I'll ask the question.
He came up with this. He found this thing, but I later found out that he had figured out online. But it's like when you get the book from the guy who lives in that crazy ice cave at the furthest north end of the next to Winterhelm.
Which is fun to find on its own.
Wait, is Winterhelm from... is that from Game of Thrones, or is that from...
I haven't...
What's the name of the college at Skyrim? Do you remember? I don't remember. It doesn't matter.
I'll find the internet.
No, they've already... There are 1,000 people yelling at us right now, so nobody cares. They all know the answer. We don't need to. But so there's that book that you get from him, and the idea is, the way it was intended to be programmed, is that you'd pick it up.
Winterhold!
Thank you. So you would pick it up, and then you could pick which attributes you want it to affect, mm-hmm. and then it would disappear. And what he found was that if you take the book, take it back to your house, put it on your bookshelf, and then essentially read it from the bookshelf instead of reading it from your inventory, then you could just keep doing it and just essentially... He has all these ways to where he called become a god in the game, where you're just untouchable. Like, you could just...
And it was all the different attributes, so he would...
He could do each one infinitely.
All 18 until everything gets 100.
Yeah, everything was maxed out.
Is that fun? Because the game scales up with you.
Yeah, he said... Oh, well, he said it wasn't fun because he would just... Boom, people would die.
Really?
Like, that's what he said.
So there is a...
Yeah, there's a level that he didn't like.
Marks below your scalability. So, like, if you're 100, everything stays below you. Because the game mathematically isn't supposed to allow you to scale 100% in all attributes, like the stuff that's available to you.
He may not have peaked out in everything. He might have just made everything big, but even then he was still at a certain level.
Oh, no, I meant like without a cheat.
Had so many XP, you know what I mean? But
so later...
So he told me, he goes, oh, when you do that, here's what you do, because he knew I was getting close to figuring out that mission. So I went back and I did it, and the book didn't disappear. I could go back and read it, but I didn't get the gain in the attributes. Like, everything would go through the same, except it wouldn't affect my attributes. So I went and looked online, and they said that it was because the most recent patch had fixed it. It was a glitch, and then they fixed it.
And see, that's where I'm like, is that a glitch so much as an oversight? Because a glitch is like a programming error where the game freezes, it blocks, something doesn't load right. Whereas that, like, you thought through it, and you were able to beat the game its own way. In the first Guild Wars, you go after these elite skills. You go and harvest them from critters all over the world. And they are hard to get. Sometimes you have to travel 45 minutes into the map fighting through things just to get to a guy that will kill you, and then you can never get to the... You know, people go on quests together to get these things. And I wanted this one particular elite skill. It's the best one I've got in the first Guild Wars. And I tried and tried and tried. And then finally, for some glitch of the game, this triceratops that we're trying to take down gets stuck behind something. No, it was great. So
You could kill it.
It was
that
stuck.
Happened to me to one of the sorcerers that I was in the map, like in Skyrim.
Yeah,
so it got stuck, and I kept shooting.
It gets stuck somewhere. It's fine. It couldn't move for whatever reason. My whole party is sitting there because I had all these NPC party members, 7 of them. So they're fodder for it. They're dying and rezzing each other, and I'm standing way outside of its reach, shooting it from a distance, boop, going, this feels like cheating. Maybe I should try to free it. What am I saying? I'm about to get the skill I need. I was never going to be able to do this with 7 NPCs by myself because I didn't have the skill for it.
Is it still a thing on, I don't know if you play a lot of like multiplayer games, like shooting games and stuff. When I played SOCOM a lot, glitching, like you would find a rock and you could jump up into it and twitch like you're the Flash and then meld into the rock but still be able to shoot people.
That is a glitch.
But you couldn't, they couldn't shoot you.
Well, maybe that's a loophole.
No, that's a glitch because they called it glitching, if I'm not mistaken, but I don't know if the term has changed. This was back in the day when we only had prime numbers our PlayStation.
That feels like cheating because it's like in the original Mario Brothers when you go to the turtle on the stairs and you could do that thing where you do that light jump and the physics of the turtle shell bouncing back against the shell and Mario's own weight coming up and down, you could eventually roll the lives clock over till it made up shapes for how many lives that you had. Like, is that a glitch or is that a loophole within the game? Like, people do it to the point where you had an infinite, like an L in an upside down box. Like, that's how many lives. I don't even know how many lives that
is. An upside down box. An upside down square. It's kind of a square.
But it was upside down. You knew where the top was. It was on the bottom.
Yeah. Had the arrow and Fergili. Yeah, I don't, like, people used to get irritated with the people that would do that, and I never really, it never bothered me. I was like, hey, you figured something out, so what? Like, you know.
Yeah, that's where I feel, that's, because I feel like there's people that do that in all sorts of online games, like StarCraft. These people that realized, it was actually in the World of Warcraft, no, Warcraft 3, they found that if they set their base a certain distance from the gold mine and then sent their orcs out to grab gold at a certain pace, that it would eventually bump draft each other to collect gold at 0.1 seconds more quicker than their opponents, and that was the difference that they needed in order to win these matches.
Wow.
Like, that kind of attention.
But that stuff to me is impressive. That's not glitching.
That's what I'm saying. That's like the stuff with the rocks of, like, how long did it take you to realize that this rock didn't have the right face on it, that they hadn't finished it, and you could weasel your way in there and get it. I don't know.
Yeah, I never, and I think it's an attribute. We talk about it a lot on, like, the show Nerd Rage, where I feel like it's interesting that there is a level of perfection that we expect out of these things as imperfect people ourselves. You know what I mean? Like, there's very few things that you or I could do perfectly, and yet it's very easy
this
for us.
This podcast.
Right?
Perfect.
One.
He dropped his microphone
for you people who don't understand why it sounded like your car stereo just broke.
not working.
But that we couldn't do anything perfect, but then you kind of do have this expectation. Like, I get frustrated with Legos because it's like, what the hell? I want to kill the scarecrow jerks.
And it took them 10,000 hours to build that game.
And I'm annoyed by the 20 minutes it took me to figure out that it had glitched.
And you'll never go back and play this game again.
I sacrificed it like a member of the occult.
That always hurts me when I see special effects in a scene. Like, I just rewatched the last two Star Wars films. And, you know, there are dudes over at ILM that spent a month on four seconds of that film. And that was their life. Like, they probably went home, shut their eyes, and could see this shot in their brains. And it flies by on the screen like that. Star Wars is a bad example because there are people on the other end that will watch one shot for 4 months and just memorize it. But it's the same thing. Like,
get the widescreen so that guy hits his head.
Yep.
I crashed you. I'm sorry. I glitched you. I'm right now twitching in your rock.
I have another glitch
twitching in your rock.
Get out of my rock. So, Skylanders, my new love, from earlier this year. There's a level in the third mission in Skylanders that every time I played it on any machine, the voices drop out of the characters and some of the sound effects drop out. And I played the game enough now, like, I've shown it to people and gone over to people's house and played it enough to know that once that starts happening, that I've got a limited amount of time to beat the level before the whole game crashes. And again, it's been a year that I've been doing it, and I played level 3 of Skylanders 26 chapters many times over. Many. And it still isn't fixed. So when I turned it on the other night, I got to this place, I'm like, I can't believe this is still happening. When are they going to send a patch out to fix this thing? Maybe I need to send them an email.
Yeah, did you write a letter and touch the stove?
I didn't. Oh. I just touched the stove. Oh,
there's a step missing. You glitched in your letter writing process.
Now you have to explain that because that makes no sense at all.
Ray Romano has a joke that Kevin and I both enjoy and has been a reoccurring bit with us where he says, you know, there's a group, he makes a joke about obsessive compulsives.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he's like, you know, he goes, I don't know why I tell that joke, because if there's a group that you don't want to make angry, it's obsessive compulsives, because they write a letter, touch the stove, write a letter, touch the stove, write a letter, check the doorknob, touch this thing. So that's why we do that.
Yeah, it's great because he's offending them again. Yeah. Yeah. It's very Justin Warsham.
Very funny fellow. I'm trying to think of any other games that have crashed.
Like, what's the worst glitch you've ever had? Like, what's the crash? I've had some in Arkham Asylum. I've had the game crash on me before.
Yeah, I remember that doing that to me.
I feel like the big universe. I had it happen in Infamous to me. Sucker Punch. The whole thing crashed on me. And I feel like it's the worlds that are big. Like, the games that are just large, large, large. I built a level in Warcraft.
Skyrim 3. Was probably one of the ones that
crashed.
Because I wasn't really into that game a lot.
You're right. That's the game where there's the ability to run fast, right? And so I found that if I run fast on the PS3, the game will lock for a second, and if I keep pressing forward, it's over. In that moment that it runs forward, like it starts to freeze, if I don't hit backwards, the game will. I'll be done, and then I'll have to go back to the last.
Well, and there was literally.
Do you experience that too?
Yes, yes. There was. Well, although I did it where even bad guys couldn't keep up with me. Like I was just going, and then trees were falling out, and I'm just running on polygons.
You're in another game.
I went into Tron.
Yeah, exactly.
But
they open up, and there's a portal there, and Gladys is talking to you.
What the hell? Wreck-It Ralph comes by.
Yeah.
So excited for that. But anyway, which is kind of when you're listening to this,
you should be seeing Wreck-It Ralph.
Yes, well done.
We might be able to get one of the guys that worked on that on the show. Did we talk about that?
That's who it was. I was trying to think of him. Like, I think there was somebody I was supposed to contact.
He's busy. I'm sure they've gone to Gold Master by now. They have to be done with that film.
You say words sometimes, and I just smile.
But I mean, they should be done with the film.
You mean Gold Master it?
Yeah, Gold Master.
Oh, yeah. Why didn't you just say that?
I did, and you didn't know what that meant.
Nah, that wouldn't happen. The
second funniest podcast.
I Gold Master that idea. But what was I saying? I can't remember.
You were going to circumvent this conversation.
About Gold Mastering?
Yeah, no. Wreck-It Ralph, Skyrim. Speeding through things, polygons, Tron.
There was one time where I got stuck underwater, like under the ground or something. It happened to me on DC Universe Online.
No,
there was another time it happened to me on Skyrim, because now I remember. Skyrim was one of those games where every time you killed a dude, we talked about on the show that great video of the guy who's like, it's a live action Skyrim parody where it's like gung 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 gung, and then he kills a guy, and then the guy like pauses mid death, and then he loots him of all his things,
and then he's
back
naked.
To gung 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 gung, and the guy falls away naked and all that. Yeah. Where you had to save every time you killed someone. So when that would glitch, and if you were like, well, I'm not fighting anybody, because it used to be like, oh, there's a guy coming at me, I'll save real quick.
Right.
Then that way, if I die, I could keep fighting this guy. So there, if you
don't save just as the polar bear is about to bite you, by the way.
Oh, that's a bad move.
You just reload, and you're like, I'm going to die every time.
It's the worst Groundhog Day ever.
I hate it. I felt like after the 20th time, the computer was fine. The PS3 is like, fine.
My version of that was a lot of troll situations, be it an ice troll, standard run-of-the-mill troll. I would die and then find myself coming back and going, this is the time.
This is the time.
I used to imagine my orc character going, come on, go back and get a sagebrush or something.
Orc, that's right.
But I kept running into, like, I would just keep battling. I'm going to do it this time, but not this time.
Not this time. I understand that people who play Red Dead Redemption on the Xbox, every time they go to skin, like an animal, remember that's a big part of the game, it would take forever for it to load. Like, you'd be like, skin this animal, and then you'd have to wait 90 minutes for it to load the animatic of him skinning the thing.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if that counts as a glitch so much as just a really annoying piece of Xbox technology.
I think it also does the same thing on Microsoft Internet Explorer.
Yeah, which is what this is.
Yeah, that was well done. That was well done.
But I would love to say I planned that.
Jacob calls this the Iron Man song. But when he hears the full version on K-Rock out here, he doesn't understand it's the same song.
Really?
He
that's
just
funny.
Likes it and sings along it's to it in the
song,
back.
Yeah.
In the back. So...
I was trying to think. I had one more. For our friends at the MOG Network, the Knights of the Old Republic, when the day it came out, you know, I'm playing this game and everything, and I jumped off something and got trapped inside a cliff. I fell through, and
it's
I'm like...
a quality problem to have as a Jedi.
Yeah, I'm looking inside. I'm like, I can't move. There's nothing I can do. So I thought I had to... kill myself. So within the game, you can die and like I used a portal or something to res.
You could do lightsaber Harry Carry?
I think so. But it costs like you can only do it once every 30 minutes or something. So I reboot. You get to portal to another to a reboot place. So I was like, so I go back to that place and I do the exact same thing again. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. What is this? And I go, I'm not gonna wait 30 minutes before I can finally leave this cliffside and go back to the game. And I look online and then found, and our friends at the Mog Network are already going, you're an idiot. Because there's a button right there that says, are you stuck? Press this. And it'll push you back like 15 feet from wherever you are back onto the land. So that. And I was like, oh, that makes sense, because then they can build this giant, lush, beautiful world and not have to test every single surface and be like, here, we gave you the ability to get out of it.
We gave you a mulligan.
Yeah, exactly. Like, our bad, you're bad.
Yeah.
Why did you jump off the cliff to begin with?
Do or do not. There is no try, my friend. Do or do not.
Now
of course
play
you
will
fail because you believe you will.
That should be free soon, but I think they're waiting until they're having their own Halloween thing right now. So I imagine.
What happens at a Star Wars Halloween?
I don't know. I'm not playing it because I don't want to spend $15 to play a game I already bought. Oh, Mog that!
Give us a call, 408-228-4911. Send us an email to show@secondfunniestpodcast. We are a member of the Mog Radio Network. You can find them. What?
No, I was going to say post on our Facebook page your favorite glitch or worst glitch or the glitch that made you tear your hair out of your head.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. You can follow us on the... Oh, I was going to say mog-radio.com for all their fantastic podcasts. That is our network. I call it R. I feel like we're a co-op.
Yeah, yeah. We're part of it.
We don't do anything. They're footing the bill.
all of this is thanks to them.
They got that sombrero from Chevy's. All of it. That's a little hint as to what is in Kevin's study. I wanted to say something. Oh, follow us on Twitter @SecondFunniest. You can join the conversation on Facebook.com/SecondFunniestPodcast. That's a good place to talk to Kevin. I'm on Twitter. You could follow me @JustinWorsham. I talk to people there.
Don't bother.
Had a great interaction with Sam.
Spencer?
Yeah, because he was like, what? I don't understand why I've not been following you. What's wrong with this world?
And I said, because I haven't done anything.
I said, it's okay. We're going to be safe. Like, you know, and then he was like, no, I don't. I'm scared. Like, we had a little Twitter bit
that we did.
He's like, I'm scared. I'm like, hey, buddy, look at you. Look at your following. Look at who you're here. It's okay, bro.
It's over.
It's okay. It's all right.
Don't bother following me @thekevinmiller.com because I'd never say anything. And if I do, it's usually about what steak I'm eating.
Kevin's real Twitter account is @secondfunniest.
Yeah, that's where you're going to find out what I'm doing. If I ever do tweet, it's to somebody you probably don't know.
Like Rainn Wilson.
Yeah.
Google that name, jerk. All right, on behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worship saying, okay, bye. We killed the song. We did it. We beat
the song. I was giving you the thumbs off the air, but nice.
No, I kept it going. Yeah.